Amen. You know, in the last few days, we've been thinking about, well, what does the Lord want us to talk about? And the thing that keeps hitting my mind and my heart is, are people living by faith, or are you living by feelings and emotions? And what I've done is we've talked to a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and we find out that they're living by emotions, feelings. They're not living by faith. And it's an alarming thing, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith, and the carnal mind is enmity, means an enemy of God. So we need to examine this afternoon how we are serving the Lord, and are we living by faith or feelings? And that's there's a big difference. You know, it says in the Bible that Satan in the kingdom of heaven, of course he wasn't called Satan at that time, but he was right among all the angels, right in the kingdom of heaven, leading the angels in praise. Isn't that amazing? Of course, as you know the rest of the story, there wasn't enough room in heaven. He said he would like to be like the Most High God. But guess what? Jesus said he cast them out like lightning. And you think about those words. I want you to think about it this afternoon. He cast him out and his angels, one-third of the kingdom of heaven of angels. They were all cast to this earth, it says, in the book of Revelations. And a lot of people don't think about this daily, but you have Satan and a third of his angels right here on this earth. Of course, today they're known as evil spirits, unclean spirits, devils. It says they're working miracles. The question I always have is, these evil spirits, where are they? You can't see them. So we have to look towards, if you were an evil spirit, where would you be? I would be right in the midst of the churches, because that's who I want to affect. Some of the verses in the Bible caution us to believe not every spirit. And that's written in the 1 John chapter 4. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. So that is indication right there that there's spirits running around. We are in a spiritual war. It says, but try the spirits. Spirits is plural. Whether they are of God. Are you doing that at your church or congregation or synagogue? Are you trying the spirits? Is your minister a minister of God? There's many verses in the Bible that explain to us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So you say to yourself, well, where is these principalities and powers? One of the places is they're right among you. You know, Jesus makes it very clear. He says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 3 says, Jesus says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You know, and this is something to be cautious of and to think about, because who do you buddy up with? Who are you fellowshipping with? God says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You know, if you read your Bibles, which we push everyone to, we can't even push you hard enough to go read your Bible, question everything your minister says, or your rabbi, or whoever that you listen to, your radio evangelist, make sure you know everything that they're saying. Us also, make sure that everything we're saying matches up with the Word of God. You know, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people. Think of that. They're false prophets. They look just like prophets. They look like they're of God, but they're false, and they're among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. That's a very important verse. There's false teachers we find amongst many churches, false ministers. You know, it's such an amazing thing to me that people do not prove all things like the Bible commands. They do not verify what is being taught them. When Jesus says so many places, you're going to be as sheep amongst ravening wolves. And these ministers are going to be wearing sheep's clothing, it says in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I mean, these verses, don't speed read them. Think them over, take them to heart. And it's very important to understand that there are people right amongst you, maybe that look very nice, but what spirit are they of? And what spirit are they projecting to you? You know, one of the things that really upsets me is when I visit different churches and they've come up with these little church phrases like, give God a clap offering. Where does it say that in the Word? There is no clap offering. Or turn to your neighbor and say, everything is okay. Do you know if everything is okay with your neighbor? Are they keeping the commandments, fearing the Lord? There's so many things in the churches that are just not of the Bible, not of God. You know, we watch ministers on TV and also locally where the minister is preaching his message, and every time he reaches a certain word or phrase, the drummer or the keyboard person accents what he says. That is not of the Lord. That's not in the Bible. That's something the church has made up. So the main thing is to be mindful of what spirit you think you're feeling. My wife is here today, and we have many things to share with you. Praise the Lord.
That's right. What he was saying is, when are you feeling the spirit or you're feeling emotion? That's when he was talking about the little drum beats and the little piano keys. Because when they get your emotions spurred up, that's what they're trying to do. And Angela, explain to them exactly what those emotions mean when they do those things to you. Is it really the Spirit of God or what?
That's correct. You know, you need to examine that. You know, some people, church people, I would say, you know, they go to the church, they're bummed out, and they go to services, or they go there trying to get something from God. And they're really trying to get something from God. And the minister up there is already rehearsed. They have an affected voice. They come out of one of these theological seminaries or divinity schools. They are taught what to say, how to say it, the way to say it. It's like a theatrical performance. They know how the music is a certain volume, what song to start with. And it becomes like a performance. And they, you know, the people in the audience or the congregation, they think they're feeling the Spirit of God, but it's not the Spirit of God. It's the vibe of the music. You know, I was in the music business for many years. I know about music, and this has nothing to do with God. When bands were playing, it was the vibe. People thought they were feeling something. Yeah, it's the spirit of the music, not the spirit of God. And that's the problem. People are feeling the spirit of the event or the spirit of the music, but does it equal the spirit of God? And God warns us to try every spirit. Because a lot of times when these services are over, and the music is ended, and the minister stops preaching, the congregation falls right back into their stupor, a spiritual stupor, and they're bummed out again, and life is back on. In other words, it's just sort of a temporary fix. It's not the Spirit of God.
Amen. What they're doing is trying to make you feel good and not tell you the truth. They're not telling you. Are they telling you, you've got to keep the commandments of God? There's no options here. Or are they just telling you, you're okay, you're just a work in progress?
That's right. You know, it's very simple when you read the Word of God. It's very explicit. God tells us exactly what to do. I'd like to read some verses today to prove to you that you should beware. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, that's 2 Corinthians 11, 13, if you have that, you can turn to your Bibles. It says, for such are false apostles. Just think of that, false apostles. They look just like apostles. They're false. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? So these people look just like local ministers, local pastors, local missionaries, local or wherever. They look like the real thing, but they're not. And 2 Corinthians 11, 14 says, and no marvel, don't marvel, for Satan himself, just think of that, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And that's the way Satan works. Satan's not going to come in the midst of a congregation dressed with their little red jumpsuit on and the tail and the horns. Of course not. You recognize him. He's going to come looking like the pastor, the minister, the one that knows it all. It says, therefore, this is verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, therefore it is no great thing if his, that Satan's ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So you need to think about who are you really listening to and what are they really saying. And a very easy to understand parable I'd like to give. If you're going to poison a rat, you don't put a big thing of poison out because the rat smells it and runs away. What you do, you put little pieces of poison in this delicious candy or whatever rats enjoy, and they eat it, and a little at a time, the rat is poisoned. And that's the way Satan is. He says a little leaven leavens the lump. And these people that you listen to, if they're not of God, the Bible says their word will eat as doth a canker. In other words, they'll eat the word of God right out of your heart. That's why we just hope and pray that you read your Bibles, your King James Version of the Bible. Read it prayerfully. Read it slow. There's no rush. Make sure you understand what you're reading. If you have any questions, if I know the answer, I'll be glad to help you. 615-591-9820. We are One of Messiah. We get together as much as we can during the week. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays at 7:30 at night. Then on Saturday, which is the Sabbath, we meet at 12:30 in the afternoon. You're invited to come anytime, all the time. Bring your friends. Bring your enemies. We'll get them saved. Praise the Lord. You know, there's so many verses in the Bible that caution us to watch out and check the people right amongst you. You know, if you read chapter 16 of the book of Numbers, you will see that this person named Korah and Dathan and Abiram, they were Levites. They were right in the congregation of the Lord, just like Satan was right in the kingdom of heaven. They're right in the midst of the heat of things. But Korah, he went and deceived 250 princes. In other words, 250 people that were in charge. Now, that wasn't an overnight thing. He did it slowly, meticulously. He knew exactly what he was doing. He's trying to draw away disciples to himself. And here it comes to be that God was very upset. Moses was very upset. And if you read chapter 16 of Numbers, you'll see God did a new thing. He opened the earth and swallowed up Dathan and Abiram and Korah, these people that lifted themselves up against the Lord and against the Lord's servant Moses. And it's nothing that's just an isolated story. It's all through the Bible. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And of course, Moses prayed for her. And there's always people. Apostle Paul warns us constantly. Watch out from among you. He says that he knows that after his departure, that grievous wolves are going to enter the flock. They're not going to spare the flock. They're going to try to draw away disciples to them. And people are always being used by different spirits. Remember what I said earlier. Satan and his angels were cast down to this earth. This is a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you say to yourself, where does it say that? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11, and 12. You need to read Ephesians chapter 6 because it tells you to put on the whole armor of God that you may be to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And it goes on to say, you have to quench these fiery darts of the wicked. And there's many things to say. Praise the Lord.
That's right. And remember, the preachers and the pastors, they're not going to be with you on Judgment Day. And remember, it's eternity. after we leave this earth, it's eternity, it's forever. So there's so much at stake. Your very soul is at stake. So if you're just going to church on Sunday to feel good about yourself, take another look and say, is he saying what the Bible's saying? Is he saying you're a work in progress, meaning you can still sin? Is he saying that you don't have to keep the commandments? Is he saying things that the Bible says opposite? Because, Angela, how much sin enters the kingdom of heaven?
Jesus says not one spot or blemish or wrinkle is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, Satan doesn't, he knows he's not going to get you to go rob the bank, but he'll get you to make one little spot, one little stain.
That's right. I mean, are you lying to people on purpose? You know you can't do that. Things like that are so important, because that is a sin. Not keeping the commandments is a sin. And that's what I wonder sometimes about people go to church anymore. Do they really know what sin is anymore? God is such an explicit, detailed God. He doesn't leave anything for your
imagination,
right.
You know, talking about the lying, you know, people, you know, the world changed it into a white lie. You want to know something? Lying is a very big thing. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, he that saith, I know him. If you say you know the Lord and you keep not his commandments, Bible says you're a liar and the truth is not in you. And if you read Revelations chapter 21, verse 8, that's Revelations 21:8, it says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I mean, that's very severe. So you might think the world makes it seem like it's not severe to lie. You know, exaggerating is lying. Not telling the truth is lying. And that's just the way it is. And you want to know, excuse me, where this all stems from. You know, God calls, it says in chapter 8, verse 3, he's talking about Satan. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. Because there's no truth in Satan. It says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar. Satan is a liar and the father of it. So these things are not to be taken lightly. I mean, I know the world, it's not a big deal to lie anymore. I mean, it's not a big deal. Churches are full of adulterers. There's churches are full of people that are homosexuals. And we're saying, folks, repent of these sins. Yes, you can repent. The Bible calls it teshuvah. Turn from your sins. Go and sin no more, and God will receive you. You know, yes, homosexuality is a sin. God made Adam and Eve, and he made one wife, not 20 wives. This world changes everything. You know, it says in the Bible, it says that God left Sodom and Gomorrah around for an ensample, an example. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of homosexuality. That's a sin. It's an abomination. Repent of these sins. And we're not going to pick on one sin, because no sin is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't break the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the fourth commandment of God. It was instituted in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. God blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it and made it holy. We're not talking about the day of worship. You could worship every day, any day. We're talking about keep the commandments of God. Do not be tricked out of them.
And ask yourself, can any man change the commandments of God? They're immutable. They were written by the finger of God. Therefore, no man on this earth can say you don't have to keep them or they've been changed. They can never be changed.
Amen. You know, a verse, I tell you a verse that's very weighty. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Now, this is 1 Samuel 15, 23. And it says, for rebellion, of course, against the word of God, is as the sin of witchcraft. How about that? Rebellion, not keeping the commandments, wanting to do it your own way, is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness, if you're stubborn and you don't want to keep the commandments of God, it says, is as iniquity and idolatry. I mean, you don't ever think of these things, but read 1 Samuel 15, 23. You'll get a different perspective on what God thinks. You know, rebellion is disobedience to God's word. And you got to watch out for your human feelings, your human emotions. It's mm-hmm. different than being led of the Spirit of God. You know, like today, or when it's cloudy, it doesn't. There's no matter. It doesn't matter if it's cloudy or sunny. We're the same every day, because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can't change with the weather. Your personality and your attitude shouldn't change with what's going on round and about you. You shouldn't let services and all that affect you in, you know, in a physical way, because we're there to serve the Lord. We're there to feel the Spirit of God. God has things He wants to tell you and show you. And you get a lot of these things through reading the Word of God. You know, if you want to hear from God, read His Word. He's got many things to show you and tell you. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity with God. The carnal mind is death. It says that in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's so many verses in the Bible about the carnal mind. You need to read these verses, and it's everywhere. There, it's very important to understand what you're feeling, what you think you're feeling when you're at services. The question I always have is the Spirit of God in places where people are not keeping the commandments? I mean, if there's a church that's not preaching keeping the commandments and holiness and sobriety and being separate from the world and consecrated, how could the Spirit of God dwell there? I remember when Moses told the people they had 3 days to consecrate themselves, to even go wash their clothes, because in the third day, God was going to show up on Mount Sinai. They had to be clean without and within. You know, Jesus says to the Pharisees, you guys look clean just on the outside, but within you're full of hypocrisy, deceit, lies. The Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders, they're the ones that look holy on the outside. Within is a different story. And that's what we need to make sure. Make sure you know who you're listening to. Make sure it matches the Word of God. Praise the Lord.
That's right. So if in your church you hear, look for signs in your church. Is there a lot of divorce in your church? Because, you know, Jesus says there is no such thing except for fornication. You can't even lust in your heart. You can't even think about another person in your heart because it's the same as adultery. So is divorce okay in your church? How about is it okay to be homosexual in your church? That doesn't match the Word of God. Does he discuss the commandments? Does he skip the fourth one and say it's changed when you know it can't be changed? Can you sin willfully? Do they say you're a work in progress and God's working on you? Well, you know, you were supposed to repent from those sins. That means to turn from them. And that's what we have to do. And you know what? Jesus is there for when you sin ignorantly, when you say something wrong unadvisedly, you say you're going to do something, you don't do it. He's there for those kinds of mistakes that we do make.
Amen. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus, because it washes away every sin.
Amen.
It makes the vilest sinner whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what it's all about, is reading the Bible, making sure who you huddle up with are people of God. You know, it says in the book of John that you're not supposed to, people that bring not the gospel or not the doctrine of Christ, if they bring not the doctrine of Christ, the Messiah, you're not supposed to even let them come in your house. And you're not supposed to bid them Godspeed. And that sounds a little drastic, doesn't it? But that's what it says. If they bring another doctrine, you're not supposed to let them enter your house. Read it, 1 John. And the spirit of Antichrist is loosed. You know, Paul warns about, watch out for people that bring another Jesus. Another Jesus means another Bible. How many Jesuses are there? There's only one. There's only one Word of God. There's only one God. Make sure you know what you're reading. Make sure you prove all things. Make sure you examine yourself if you're in the body. Make sure you're not living by human sensation or human emotions. Make sure you're feeling the Spirit of God. And there's a way to try the Spirit. You know how you do that? The Spirit that you're feeling and the Word of God have to agree. So if what you're feeling is not in the Word of God, then you're not feeling the Spirit of God. It's a sensation. It's human emotions. It's the vibe of the music. It's the way the minister has rehearsed his service. It's not of God. If it doesn't match the Word of God, praise the Lord.